Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This should be fun. Tiny little sandwiches. Children. Dogs. There's kind of nothing more disgusting in the world. I don't know what's going to happen here. Relax, come on. I'm not going to hurt you.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Here we go.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No. 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 That's right. The older I get, the harder it is to put my socks on. Let me explain. I'm 6'3" tall. Not wide, tall. And it's a long way down there. I can't bend over that far. That's a lot to maneuver. There was a television commercial about like a year ago. And it was a device that someone invented where you put the sock at the end of a long pole, and then you put the pole near your foot, and then you can put your socks on and without bending over. And I thought, well, this is perfect for me, but at the same time, there's no way I'm buying that thing. Are you serious? I'd rather go socksless. Is that a word? A sock helper or something like that? Like hamburger helper? I don't understand. Alright, that'll be enough of that. Yeah, I can't bend down that far. I haven't touched my toes in 17 years. I know they're there because I can see them from up here, but I haven't touched them. I can't. Nope. I can't. You don't understand. You short people don't understand how lucky you are. I mean, true, you have extreme personality problems as a result of your height and trying to overcompensate. I get that. And it's true. They call it the Napoleonic complex. And if you're short, you got it. I don't have that problem. I'm laid back, so I'm good because I'm tall. You know, it's like, So I get it. But if you're short, you have no idea how wonderful it is to be able to touch various parts of your body. You could even lick your feet if you wanted to. I can't lick my feet. I don't want to, secondly. But firstly, I miss my feet, man. I miss them. I miss caressing them. And whatever. That's my problem, not yours. How are you? Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's a Ron Van Dam Show. We're heard on just about every platform there is. You put a platform down, I'll stand on it. As a matter of fact, I was told that sitting on the couch is the new smoking. I thought, well, smoking was far more pleasurable than sitting on a couch, so I don't quite get that. I don't know a lot of people that have contracted lung cancer from sitting on a couch too long. But I think it's an analogy. I think that's what that is, not to be taken literally. But I did realize that I don't move around at all. I will walk to the refrigerator and back to the couch. And I'll drive to the bar and get out of the car and walk into the building. But other than that, I'm extremely sedentary. When I sit here and do this show and do the radio business in the morning, I'm sitting down through the whole thing. I mean, my ass just doesn't really ever see the light of day. I don't know what that meant either. So here's what I'm doing as we speak. And I don't know what you do for a living. I certainly don't care. You have no idea how much I don't care what you do for a living. It's not the point, actually. But think about it. If you could stand up and do your work, and again, I don't know what you do. Maybe you stand up to do your work anyway. Maybe that is your work, to stand up and do things. But most people sit down when they're doing their job. So I decided that when I do my radio show, and I have one, did you know that? A lot of the public doesn't. When I do my radio show every weekday, by the way, I am no longer going to sit down. As I'm talking to you now, I'm standing up. When I was younger, everything happened when I was younger in comparison. I actually did stand-up comedy. I would go to comedy clubs and do a comedy set. Sometimes it was incredibly wonderful. Other times it was horrifically defeating. And the only time that I remember doing stand-up comedy was the horrifically defeating part. Although I know it wasn't all the time, but that's all I remember. So I stood up when I used to work. I would pace around with a microphone in my hand and I would relay funny little stories and, you know, do the similar type of boring things that I do now. Complaining about everything, even though I really love everything. Well, that's not true either. I'm standing up right now, and I'm pacing a little bit, and this is going to be the new me. You are listening to the new me. No more sedentary sitting down. Now, as I get older, my back starts to hurt. When you're 6'3" tall, there's a lot of body to get up there, you know? It's an effort. When you're short like you, I don't understand what the problem is. I really don't, unless you had a back injury or a car accident or something. Isn't it funny? Well, it's not funny. Isn't it not funny how many people, if you probe into their life and you probe into their past, how many of them said or would say, yeah, I think it hurts from a car accident that I had about 10 years ago. Everybody was in a car accident. And when they get into some pain later in life, they always refer back to that particular car accident. Or, oh, the time I was walking down the street and I fell down, I fell on my side and it hasn't been the same since. Funny you never mentioned that before. Yeah, but now it hurts and I think it goes back to that injury that I had in 1827. Everybody's got a thing. If you talk to anybody personally and you get into your pains and your aches, they will reveal themselves in ways that you would never imagine. You think everybody else just walks around and is a perfect specimen of life. No problem, no physical problems, no mental problems. They go through life, they have a job, they have a mate or they don't. They have a dog, everything's wonderful. They eat cantaloupe and have a steak here and there. And that's it. They wake up, they go to bed, they brush their teeth, they eat some dinner, they have some sex, they go to work, they have a beer, they watch a sports game. Life is just fine for them. Nay, 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 ladies and gentlemen. If you probe into anybody's life, just get them a little drunk, you know, and they'll start spilling the beans. You will find out that just about every person on this planet has some type of physical ailment or mental problem. And you are not alone. That's normal. The normal are people with problems. That's normal. We go through our entire lives comparing ourselves to what we think normal is, which is somebody who has no problems whatsoever, is just happy, stable, and wonderful. Those people do not exist. There's no such person. There could be one or two of them, but they're just not being honest with you. Everybody's got something. Delve into anybody's past when they were a child. I had a wonderful childhood. We brought up in a wonderful home and really have a drink. Well, it wasn't all that wonderful now that I've had the drink. I was abused and they used to lock me in a closet for 17 hours a day and paint little clown faces on my testicles. And yeah, now I remember that. I guess my childhood wasn't as good as I say it is. Yeah, we find out about things. Are you happily married? Oh, you bet I am. My wife is beautiful. She's curvaceous, just lovely. The nicest person in the world, wouldn't hurt a fly. Just wonderful, wonderful. We have everything in common. We do everything together. Oh, really? Have a drink. That was tasty. Now tell me about your wife again. Oh, that bitch. She is just, she puts on an air of being nice to everybody, but I know her. What a bitch. What a self-centered, snotty, little nebbish of a human being. Oh, I see. It's true. Not that it takes alcohol for everybody to admit this, but everybody's got something. That's my point. So if you're walking around in your life saying, everybody seems like they're better off than I am, no, no. And then there's always this this thing where, look at this celebrity, this performer. They're worth about $50 million, and they go to these functions all the time, and they're recognized and loved, and people stop them on the streets and say how much we love you, and you have all this money and this fame. You can go anywhere in the world you want at any time, and hobnob with the most important people in the world. What a life. I wish I had it. And then you find out they commit a suicide. And you can't figure that out. It's because money has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, sometimes the more money you have, the more skewed your head gets. And you get yourself into all kinds of crazy situations that you wouldn't have otherwise. You can get all the drugs in the world and ingest them because they cost nothing to you. It's mere pennies to you with your millions of dollars. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight. You can put your socks on yourself or you can't. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got these problems, both physical and mental. And stop walking around thinking that everybody else is normal, because that's not normal. Normal is having problems. A wise person once told me, I can't remember who it was. I can't even remember what I had for dinner. Oh, it was Chinese food. I had Chinese food for dinner last night. All right, I guess I can remember. This wise person said to me, Ron, you know what life is? I said, yeah. Said, you know, it's not avoiding the problems. It's knowing how to get through them. It's not the hurdles that have been put in your way. It's if you're successful in jumping over them when they appear. They will appear. You will have to deal with them. It's how you deal with them that gives you a full, enriched life. And I said, my God, I can't remember who you are, but that is definitely amazingly true. I have the fortunate ability, when I meet people, they open up to me. I should have been a psychologist, although I'd have to go to school that much longer, and I'm not into school. That's more sitting. The day I graduated from college, I nearly had an orgasm because I said, oh my God, no more school. This is wonderful. I don't have to go to school anymore and sit in the classroom with a bunch of bozos like I'm stuck and I can't leave. And now it's costing me money to be stuck and not leave. I've graduated from college. I'm kissing your ass goodbye, college classroom or high school classroom. No more of that for me, my friends. I will learn in my own way. I don't need to sit down and have some schmuck tell me how to think or what to know. So I would not have been great at any real professional job where you got to do extended college like a doctor or a lawyer or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever. I can't. Too much knowledge at somebody else's pace. I can't do it. But I would have been a great therapist, man, because when people talk to me, they just open up. I don't know what it is about me. I'm actually a very fearful looking person. Not that I'm fearful. People fear me because I'm tall and I don't smile a lot because there ain't that much to smile about, really. But I guess when I was brought up, my mother probably slapped expressions off my face to the point where I don't have them anymore. So people don't necessarily come over and talk to me. But when they do, they're so pleasantly surprised about this wonderful, sweet, adoring person that I am. I know, seriously. But we get into deep conversations. I get into deep conversations with strangers. And every single time I walk away saying, oh my God, this person's weird. So maybe I'm not as bad off as I think I am. And I'm not. And neither are you. I feel like the Pope right now. I'm pontificating. That's another job I would have loved. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I would have loved to have been the Pope. Just to get up in the morning and not have to wonder, what am I going to wear today? And, you know, most popes are going bald and they can put that big hat on. I mean, there's just so many benefits to it. You don't have to get your own beer. You got cardinals for that. Hey, Cardinal, give me a beer, will you? Yes, sure. Yes, your popiness. I don't know what they call them. That would have been a great job, being Pope. That would have been wonderful for me. I would have loved that. Anyway, that's my story. How are you, by the way? I'm sorry. In all this conversation, I never referred to you whatsoever. Well, I kind of did. I'm trying to help you along, trying to impart my wisdom upon you. What do I have if I don't have wisdom? I don't know if I'm older than you or younger than you, but I soak stuff in. I don't need to sit in a classroom to soak in information. I hear everything, and I analyze and file everything into a file somewhere in my head. There's no more room in my file cabinet in my brain, by the way. I'm going to have to start deleting files. Anyway, I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. It's going to be interesting. It has to do with eye care. I do care. No, I mean EYE care. I have to make an appointment with my optometrist. I'm due to see her. See her, get it? She's a lovely lady. She's an optometrist. She sat in a classroom longer than I did, for which I guess I admire her because I couldn't do that. So I'm going to go to her office. I have to make an appointment, and she's going to check my eyes. And I could tell her over the phone, they're still there. She's going to check them out, and she's going to blow air into my eyes. That's the part of it that I hate the most. She can look into my eyes all she wants. Try to find my soul. Good luck. Actually, I have one. It's Trump that doesn't have a soul. I'm sorry, Don. We're looking through your eyes to see if you don't have a soul, do you? No, I don't. No, I don't. Anyway, she's going to check my eyes, and I wear reading glasses. So I decided I'm just not going to read anymore. That's all. If I need glasses for that, why would I want to do it? Seriously. I wear reading glasses, and I think I look rather good in glasses, too. I think everybody looks rather good in glasses. Maybe not all the time. But even so, I mean, people really do look good in glasses. I'm attracted to people in glasses. I really am, because not only are they attractive, but it's attractive to me that they're smart. The older I get, the more I'm attracted to inner beauty as opposed to the outer beauty. If you got both, it's a win-win-win-win-win, but it's not necessary anymore for me, you see. Intelligent people, come on, I got to go home and change my pants. Intelligent people turn me on. Smart people, people who have some depth to them, oh man, they can stay on the planet. They can stay on the planet. If we ever have to divide the place up because of climate change and stuff, and some of you have to go to Mars, the stupid people can go to Mars. The people that just really have no point being here. They have no depth. They have no ability to analyze, to understand, to figure things out. You can get on that rocket ship, go to Mars, have a good day, and stay there. Left on the planet, the people that are introspective, that understand, that can see other people's points of views, that can talk about things without getting, you know, upset and hurting people and beating them up. And you people can stay. You people can stay. The rest of you, Mars, bye. Let's set up a colony for you. I don't care. Go. Come on. Seriously. So, so my optometrist looks into my eyes, can see my soul, and she appreciates that. But there's one part of the eye exam that really bothers me. They take this puff of air that comes out of a machine or something. I don't think she's blowing in my eye. Blowing in my ear, that would be nice. Blowing in my eye, I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. Is that odd? She blows a puff of smoke, a puff of air into my eyes, and it just, and I recoil. I recoil. It's like, whoa, it's a very uncomfortable thing. I mean, they torture prisoners with all kinds of things. Just blow a little puff of air into their eyes. They'll admit everything because it's just so uncomfortable. What's the difference between pain and discomfort? Does anybody know anymore? At my age, it's the same. It doesn't really matter. Does that hurt? I don't know, but it's uncomfortable. That's bad enough. I guess you're right. Yeah, I'm serious, man. It's enough for me. I don't want any discomfort. Now, you know, now they have pills over the counter in the pharmacia. it's for discomfort, you see. I have bloating. I have some discomfort. Is it painful? Is it a sharp pain? No, it's uncomfortable though. It's not comfortable for me. It's discomfort. We have a pill for that. Yeah, I'm not comfortable. So give me that pill. Anyway, I'll set up the appointment with my optometrist. I'll do that. But same time, we have one here right now. We're going to talk about some eye things that you should watch out for. And we're going to do that in just a second because I think I need a break, and I think you do too. I mean, I know you do. So we'll be right back with our guest right after this.
You know, we can't all be quite as cool as Ron Van Dam. But then again, most of us haven't had quite as long to work on it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hi there, Ron.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, doing great. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. Sahar Bedru joins us now. She's an ophthalmologist, and we're talking about taking care of your eyes and some of the concerns that one might have and checking that out. We're talking about glaucoma. Let's just start at the top. What exactly is glaucoma?
So glaucoma is a disease of the optic nerve. The optic nerve is a cable that connects our eyeball to our brain. Mm-hmm. And in glaucoma, that cable starts to get thinner and thinner over time or degenerates. And when that happens, patients will lose vision very slowly over time. Mm-hmm. We know that about 3 million Americans have glaucoma. Only half of them actually know that they have the disease because the symptoms are so incredibly subtle. First thing is you lose peripheral vision, mm-hmm. but frankly speaking, most patients don't even notice that. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you can compensate with one eye if it's seeing well and the other eye may have glaucoma. Mm-hmm. And so it compensates. Patients don't know until really advanced stages of glaucoma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not both eyes simultaneously. It's a disease of a particular eye.
It can affect both eyes. It typically is asymmetric. Uh-huh. 27% of patients will go blind in one eye mm-hmm. over 10 years. Mm-hmm. But since there's a genetic component, the other eye usually shortly follows after. Okay. So oftentimes, I will have one patient present with one eye, you know, a little mm-hmm. bit more advanced and the other eye kind of catching up.
Okay.
Years later.
All right. Can glaucoma affect anybody? Is it indeed genetic from generation to generation? Is there something we're doing with our eyes that is making this more of a feasible problem?
Yeah, no, glaucoma can affect anybody. Mm-hmm. There is a strong genetic component.
Oh.
So if there is a first-line relative, so let's say a sibling, a mother, a father, if they have had eye disease or eye blindness from glaucoma, then that person is at significant risk of getting glaucoma. Okay. And I certainly recommend patients getting a visit with their eye doctor if they have a family history of it.
Right.
And there are certain ethnicities that are a little bit more prone as well. There are many studies that show African Americans are slightly increased risk for glaucoma, as well as some of the Latino populations. And so in general, I think everybody should have an eye exam, but if patients have a genetic predisposition to it, then they should get it more frequently and certainly get a baseline glaucoma evaluation on their eye visits.
Okay. Is there anything that the general public can do, especially those that are, you know, in the senior area, because it's a degenerative situation frequently? Is there anything we can do, like vitamins or eye exercises or stop blinking so much? I don't know. You know,
that's right. No, I wish it was. It's a question I get very, very often in my clinic. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is that this disease is within the genetics. And
okay.
So there's nothing environmental that's going to really affect it. There's no lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, in general, I always recommend reducing people's stress level, but there really has been no, there's nothing that you can do or eat or change the way you do. This is really depends. If you're going to get glaucoma, if you're destined to get it, you're going to get it, unfortunately.
Right. Okay. Are there any medical advances that can treat or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we are really at the edge of a kind of a new era of glaucoma.
Yeah.
We have so many different eye drops out now on the market. We have laser, different types of laser, surgeries, and advancement of surgeries, and it is constantly evolving. And so by no means should a patient with glaucoma lose hope and think that there isn't something that can be done, because there certainly is.
Okay.
And I encourage all of the patients who have glaucoma to go to their eye doctor. You know, in fact, what's interesting is that Allergan did a survey of patients and doctors, and they found that 75% of patients with glaucoma, they worry significantly about losing their sight.
Yeah.
And 85% worry about a lifestyle change, like not driving, dependent on someone, being a burden.
Yeah.
A lot of those are not shared with the doctor. And if the patient can just express that to the doctor and see how we can kind of alleviate some of those fears, then that really helps. And there are treatments, there's surgery. Like I said, I always instill hope in my patients.
Good.
But the first step is to go in and get seen and get evaluated.
All right. I assume it's one of those things, like other situations, where the earlier it's detected, the better it is to treat.
Yes, absolutely. This is one of those. That's why screenings are really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yearly eye exams with the eye doctor, especially if there's a glaucoma history in the family. And if you can catch it early enough, you can start treatment. And while there's no cure for glaucoma at this time, you can't take away, you can't bring back the vision that's lost. We certainly can slow it down by lowering the eye pressure with glaucoma drops and surgery, and allow patients to have more enjoyable years. And I really recommend patients going to a website called myglaucoma.com. This provides information about patient testimonials and patient and caregiver insights into how patients can improve their life and maybe get a little bit more information about glaucoma and hopefully that sheds some more light for this disease.
Now, this is going to sound like a stupid question, but you don't know my listeners. That's a joke, actually. could you spell glaucoma so that people can indeed go to this site?
Sure, absolutely. It's my MY glaucoma, glaucoma.com.
I knew how to spell my. That wasn't the problem. Okay.
Good job.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information, Doctor. It's important. I don't know what would be more important under the circumstances. So, yeah, I mean, there's no question. It's like anything else. When you get your annual physical, you get older, you got to go to a dermatologist once a year. I mean, this is part of it. You go to the dentist, you get your eyes checked always. This is just
That's
the way
right.
it should be. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you giving me the time to talk about this and raising some awareness.
Great. It's a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. How about you? Will that do it for you? I'm going to be back again tomorrow. That's the good news and the bad news. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. You can hit me anytime tomorrow here. I mean, hit me up on the thing, not hit me. And we'll talk again. We'll do some stuff. We'll play some games. We'll do some face painting for the kids. How about that? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.